We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Not that long ago, we asked you what ode, what song you would use to serenade the return of team sports, and this was one of the most popular choices. Now, many of you call it Put Me in Coach, which is fine. We all know what you're talking about. It's actually Center Field, John Fogerty, and as I learned, Creedence Clearwater Revival. I just thought it was John Fogerty. That shows you what I know about my classics. It's not my department. I tell people all the time, if I mess up music or movies or pop culture, you just have to remember that's not my department. It's not where I spend the majority of my time. But it is one of my favorite sports songs, so I'll give you that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. It's just 2 hours to the weekend. I'm excited for a mini road trip. I'm not going to see that many people, but I am going to actually spend the night elsewhere. First time since March 2nd that I will spend the night in a place that's not my house. Remember, I had two houses for a while there. But the bed could only be in one place. So it'll be the first time since March 2nd that I have not slept in my own bed. And I'm excited. I'm a little nervous. I don't know why. I guess just because I'll be getting on the road and dealing with some traffic. And it'll just be the first time that Penny and I have done any type of travel since early March. So 5 months, but I'm excited to see some friends. Also looking forward to golfing, as bad as it's probably going to be. And it's hard for me to comprehend that Friday is the last day of July and that Saturday is the beginning of August. Wowzers. And yet, here we go. Basketball, hockey, bring it. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Our toll-free line. I love your responses so far. Some of them funny, sarcastic. Others of them genuine. About the best part of July for you. In your world, what was the best part of July? It doesn't have to be sports. So please don't answer with a sports question or a sports response if that's not how you feel. I'm not looking necessarily for something sporty. I'm looking for something that made you happy, something that you will remember fondly about July. In addition to going to the beach twice, I also got settled into my house and went from wanting my money back to kind of having it sink in that I finally, for the first time in my life, own a little plot of land with a little cozy house. And it's been fun to show it off to people, a couple of friends who've come over. That's been really cool. Something else that I'm so excited about that happened in July, barely. One of my friends, she and I have been friends for a long time. She's older and she has waited a long time to get married and to have a baby. And she just gave birth to her baby girl, Stella, a couple of days ago. And Stella is healthy and Brittany is healthy. And it's been really cool to see the pictures and to hear a little bit about her experience. She's in California, so I won't be able to see Stella anytime soon. But that's also exciting for me as someone who's kind of walked through this process with her of getting married and getting pregnant. So that's exciting too. I'm really, thrilled for her. So personal, professional, whatever it is, some of you maybe you went back to work in July. That's awesome. Maybe you took a cool vacation. Whatever it is, maybe you adopted a dog. If you adopted a dog, that definitely is the best part of your July. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Let's talk to Brian, who's in Milwaukee. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, we're talking about baseball here, and I think the commissioner is slowly ruining the game of baseball for all of us. I just want to voice an opinion here, but I guess I'm more of a baseball purist or traditionalist. Mm-hmm. I mean, not like I've been watching the game that long. I'm only 35 years of age. But all these gimmicks, starting runner on second is great. I get it. They're trying stuff out. But the problem is, it's heard years ago, there was a rumor about, oh, the DH should be for all baseball. Well, guess what? After this, it's going to be all baseball for the DH. My fear is, it started out with a replay as well. Oh, let's just review home runs. Great, review home runs. And now we're reviewing everything. Next thing you know, we're going to be reviewing balls and strikes. And at that point, I think it's only a matter of years. And I don't think I'm able to deal with that because there's something intricate about the batter, pitcher, confrontation and arguing a ball and a strike. If you argue a call through a strike, you're going to get called out on a ball the next at bat. There's something special about baseball that I'm going to miss.
That there are makeup calls? You're excited about makeup. You'll miss makeup calls?
Yeah. So there's something special about the game where it's not totally 100%, a strike is a strike, but you have to know the umpire's strike zone. You watch it throughout the game. You feel it. You see it. You know it. When that's gone, there's no more arguing. I just think that's a special component of baseball that I don't want to see go away.
Mm. Well, arguing balls and strikes can technically get you thrown out of a game, so you're not supposed to be doing it anyway. But I would agree with you about the electronics, the technology. I say more is better. I say less is better. That's what I meant to say. I appreciate that we still have umpires who are human beings who every now and then will make a mistake or who give us a reason to debate and disagree. I don't need my officials to be perfect. I've said that about the NFL. I've said it about the NBA. The fact that they still are right 95% of the time, roughly, and that they know the game better than most of us around the United States, that's enough for me. I don't need it to be perfect. The players aren't perfect. The fans aren't perfect. I don't need it to be perfect. However, I do think that replay is helpful because if you can get it right by virtue of looking back at a video and it's not going to be too intrusive to the game, I don't mind that. But I also think there should be some limitations to video. As for the DH, to my understanding, anyway, it's not a permanent change yet. I know they've made it for the short term, but I don't know that it's permanent. We'll see. I go back and forth on that. I understand what you say about the purity of the game. At the same time, I don't want pitchers to get injured running the bases. I mean, it is kind of cool to see, say, Clayton Kershaw or Madison Bumgarner smack a hit. Oh my gosh, seeing Bartolo Colon hit a home run a couple years ago. Was it last year? I can't remember exactly what it was. It was one of the funniest moments, but most amazing moments I've ever seen. So I do think there's some value to having pitchers hit, but also they're not very good at it. So you almost always look at that pitcher spot as an automatic out. And if not automatic, well, 98% of the time, Brian. So I go back and forth on that. But I would agree with you. I don't want them to tinker with the game too much. And I don't know that they will. Just anything to get through this season is kind of the deal now. Okay?
Yep.
Okay, great. Great to talk to you. So Brian mentioned he thinks Rob Manfred is ruining the game. However, just to clarify, the seven-inning doubleheaders had to be agreed on by the owners and the Players Association. And so that wasn't just Rob Manfred instituting a change in baseball. They kind of believe that, similar to college football, actually, as an example, that they need flexibility. And I don't like it. I think it's hokey, to be honest. Maybe I shouldn't be so harsh about baseball in saying that it's not legit. The paychecks are legit. The TV broadcasts are legit. The fact that they're actually playing games after all this time, I mean, that's real. And I am watching them and I am appreciating them. And I'm glad that baseball is back. I definitely missed it. However, a little bit along the lines of what Brian said. The more you tinker with the game, the more it feels like a gimmick. What did Vince McMahon say about the restart of the XFL over and over? It's going to be straight football, entertainment, not gimmicky. Right? Because when you tinker and add gimmicks to a sport, especially one that already has a huge fan base like football, people tend to not take it as seriously. And that's kind of where I am at with baseball as they make all these changes. Not so much the DH. Again, I go back and forth on that. I don't want some of the top flight pitchers, the aces of the game, the ones that I really enjoy watching. I mean, this chick digs a pitcher's duel way more than I dig a home run derby. So I don't want the best pitchers in the game to blow an Achilles running to first base. Now, I know that kind of means they're not so athletic, but I mean, we do see a lot of pitchers get injured every year trying to run the bases. I don't need them to hit. For the most part, even the best hitting pitchers in the game still have averages of what? 100 if they're lucky? I mean, most pitchers don't have a batting average that would even put them at number 9 in the lineup if they weren't compelled to be there. And they certainly wouldn't make a living as hitters. So I don't mind the DH because it keeps someone else involved. It gives us another bat. And it preserves what's special about the pitcher himself. Now, if we could just get more quality starts in baseball, not so many pitchers who only last into the fifth inning, guys who are done after 70 pitches, it definitely has become more of a specialty position where you'll have a lot of pitching changes. Well, in games that go 9 innings, we'll see how many pitching changes you have in a game that goes 7 innings. But yeah, the runner on second base and extras, or in a doubleheader, it's going to be on base in the 8th inning. The 60 games only. The various different rule changes that they're applying. To me, the more you tinker with it, the more you toy with it, the more you try to tailor it to 2020, the less I take it seriously. Again, I know that's a little bit harsh, but that's how I feel about it, that it's becoming less and less legit. I'm not saying I won't watch it. I'm just saying a 60-game season is hard enough to stomach, and then to crown a World Series champion, when you consider that the playoffs, so whatever team ends up winning the World Series, and remember, they've added, here's the other thing they've done, they've expanded the playoffs, so now more than half the teams in baseball make the postseason, so yet another change they've made, but they want to get as many teams as possible into the postseason. Why? Because they make more money on playoff TV games. Whatever team ends up winning the World Series, so whatever team lasts all the way into late October, early November. I'm not exactly sure what the last date of the World Series would be potentially. But they do believe they're going to hold it in October, same as usual. That team, that postseason, excuse me, that lasts, say, a month, will essentially be one half of the season they just came through. I mean, how crazy is that? Like, just let that sink in for a second, the perspective of it. They're coming back to play a 2-month regular season, and then whatever teams end up in the World Series will have played a third month. They're essentially playing another half of the season. I mean, just, it's so odd. You're going to play roughly 30 games in the, well, depending on how long the series go, but you could end up playing roughly 30 games or so in a deep postseason run. It feels so odd compared to the regular season. 2 months of the regular season, 1 month of the postseason. So I'll be ready when they go back to I hope they go back to the model that we've become accustomed to. Maybe Rob Manfred will be so excited about the 7-inning games, he'll try to make that change permanent. You know him. He's all about speeding up the game to make it appeal to more fans. I'm not sure it would. You keep tinkering with the game, I don't know that it's going to appeal to more people. And as is always the risk, there's a chance you could tick off your faithful fan base enough that they're not into the game anymore either. Now, I know, and I'll use this quick example before we take our break. I know that this is a loose analogy, but I still believe it applies. For quite a while, was it 15 years ago, maybe? NASCAR was the number two spectator sport in the country. And it was judged based on ticket sales, sellouts, as well as TV ratings. It was extremely popular, not just in the South. There are tracks all over the country. In the West, above the Mendoza line. I mean, there's tracks everywhere. I worked at a NASCAR track when I was in college growing up in New Hampshire. We know there's one in Michigan. There's one in Vegas. There's one in Sonoma, California. On and on and on. Pocono, Pennsylvania. Anyway, so the sport was so popular that it was the number two spectator sport in the country based on ticket sales and TV ratings. And then, of course, they had a couple of tragedies. I still believe the sport survived those relatively well. I mean, it hurt some fans to watch, but it wasn't the fatal blow to the sport itself. What happened was they had a few of their stars retire, and then they started tinkering with the sport. Plus, there was an economic downturn, and so you had some sponsors leave. It was just the perfect storm. But part of why I believe that NASCAR isn't as popular today, a major part of it, is because they changed the format so much that the diehards, like me, just felt like it was too gimmicky. There were the playoffs, which was really the first major change, which, okay, that's not terrible. A chase for the cup, that's kind of cool. But then every year, for what felt like 5 years, they changed the format and the points structure and how you qualified for the playoffs. And it got to the point where I didn't even really get it, and I didn't care enough to follow it to figure out exactly how they were changing it. Just tell me who's in the playoffs, okay? And now they do stage racing. It's different. And a lot of it's gimmicky, and it's made for TV, and it doesn't appeal necessarily to a new fan base, and it doesn't appeal to the faithful fan base either. And so I believe that most of these changes in baseball are temporary just to get through this 2020 season, but some of them are probably here to stay. And to me, it's not necessarily going to make the game more attractive to new fans. And what it's going to do, I believe, is alienate some of the faithful fans. Now, ultimately, if you're a baseball fan and you still get the drama, you still get the excitement, yeah, you'll still stick around. But you tinker with it too much and it becomes a product that people look at as not legit. Baseball's definitely in a fight. I'll give you that.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
The unmistakable voice of one Rob Manfred. I'm sure we all know people who've had a really difficult 2020 professionally. Maybe people who've been furloughed or lost their jobs. People on unemployment desperately wanting to go back. I know a lot of broadcasters who are out of work and hoping they get the opportunities that they've lost at some point. You have to admit that Rob Manfred has had a pretty miserable 2020. Yes, he's still getting paid, so there is that. But has there been a person in sports more under fire and more scrutinized, more criticized? And a lot of it rightfully so. The man hasn't stopped talking the entire year. He's got no choice. He's in the center of one firestorm after another. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. That was him just a few days ago on the MLB Network. Admitting, sure, we knew there would be an outbreak at some point. We knew we would have to deal with what's happened, essentially, with the Marlins. Marlins are still quarantining. A lot of them have gone through negative or gone through the testing process and come back negative. Not all of them, but that's the point. They have to get to Sunday, and then we'll reevaluate, but they're not allowed to play through the weekend. And apparently it's been hard on them. I read one account that indicated they're struggling, some of them, because they're isolated. They're not allowed to see anybody else except for when they test. They then see their teammates or other members of their travel party. But every other minute of the day, they are stuck in their hotel rooms. That's where Lou Williams is right now, too. But I think he deserves that 10-day quarantine. I feel bad for the Marlins, who made smart choices and still couldn't avoid the virus because other people had it. And I do believe it's a cautionary tale. I also do believe that baseball has these stringent protocols in place to try to prevent it being widespread. And so far, it's working. You may have heard me say this already this week. I know there were two members of the Phillies staff that tested positive for COVID, but none of the players. And so right now, the Marlins are the only franchise with any players who've tested positive since last Friday. And that's great news. That really is, I think, a bigger story. But we're waiting for the Marlins to see what happens. And I applaud both the Yankees and the Orioles for being flexible. And baseball has to be flexible, too. I still don't like the 7-inning doubleheaders and a free runner on second base in the 8th inning. It's even weirder than extra innings. 855-212-4227. Hayden is in Texas. Welcome to After Hours. Hello?
Hello, Amy?
Yes.
Okay, well, I was wanting to call in to talk about kind of like how, you know, baseball has been on the decline compared to a lot of other sports. And I wanted to call in to talk about how I really think it's on the decline, obviously because of Bob Manfred. Because I've talked to a lot of other guys on 105.3 through local radio stations. And the thing that I've noticed through all of it is, honestly, I really don't think Bob Manfred really cares about the sport that he's trying to manage. And that's obviously baseball. And the reason why I think that is because, obviously, he hasn't ever gone to the extent like what the NBA has to keep their players safe, which obviously, in my honest opinion, I think they could have done that.
Hayden, what else should he have done? What else should the commissioner have done to keep the players safe? Are you suggesting a bubble?
Yes, literally a bubble.
Okay, well, hold on. The players did not want a bubble. They wouldn't have agreed to a bubble. So as much as you can blame Rob Manfred, I guess you need to blame the players as well because they did not want a bubble.
Well, that's cocky people. It's just like the same thing in every other sport. I guarantee you a lot of NFL players, much less NHL players, who literally play for teams, the majority of their teams are outside of the U.S., can literally say the same thing too.
Wait, did you say the majority of NFL teams are outside the U.S.?
No, I said the NHL.
No,
I was referring back to the NHL.
But the majority of hockey teams in the NHL are not outside the U.S. They are right now. All of them are, but they don't reside outside the U.S.
Well, yes. I'm just talking about the teams in general. A lot of the NHL resides in Canada. Can you agree with that or deny it? I get it.
Are you referring to the off-season or in-season?
Either way, I'm just saying. The thing that I'm really trying to get to is, yes, Bob Manfred literally has a choice between allowing them to jump from literally state to state instead of literally keeping them inside a facility.
No, he can't do that, man. They're grown men. And I know I'm arguing with someone who's not completely sober right now. But they're grown men, and they wouldn't have agreed to a bubble. Manfred can't lock them up. I mean, the players' union, which is extremely powerful in Major League Baseball, would not agree to a bubble. Mike Trout just went on paternity leave because his wife had their first child. He did not want to be in a bubble. These guys did not want to stay away from their families the way that the NBA and the NHL players are. They did not agree to one hub where all of their games would take place because originally baseball tried that with the Arizona model.
Okay, but do you not think now with the Marlins that would change their minds? So are you telling me he could not bring that idea up again to represent that to the players
to think they could actually pull it off? It's too late. They've already agreed multiple times. And do you remember how long it took them to come to this agreement? It took them months and proposal after proposal after proposal. So, no, it's too late now. They either sink or swim with what they've got.
Even with those facilities in Arizona, you're saying that.
Yeah, no, Arizona's a hotbed right now, so absolutely not.
I guess. I don't freaking know. I agree that those players, there's cocky players in every league, and I get that. But, I mean, just like sometimes, don't you agree those players are kind of going outside of their boundaries just because of their cockiness? Just saying it like
I hate, and I have to let you go because we're at the bottom of the hour, but I would agree with you that there are times when athletes, I don't know if I'd call it cocky, but when athletes or young people, we just talked to Tommy Bowden about college students on the show last night, where they believe they're invincible and they believe that it's okay, I can break the rules. In this case, the virus, it doesn't apply to me. I'm not going to get sick. And a lot of them don't. They're asymptomatic, but I will go back to the Marlins and what is a devastating ripple effect from the actions of one or two guys that has sidelined the entire team. And I'm pretty confident that no one else in baseball wants to be that person, that patient zero that shuts down his entire team. I mean, this is it's devastating for the Marlins, but it's also a huge warning for the rest of baseball. And I think they've gotten that warning loud and clear. Thanks for your phone call. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You should see Dave's face right now.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Give the new guy in our production department. Michael, what do you think? Well, now I want to know what Michael Cooper thinks, but unfortunately the cut was chopped before we could hear what Michael thinks. Here's what I think. I think you should let him play at the end of a game. Let's not micromanage. It didn't look to be a blatant foul to me. I just think it's pretty cool, as you hear with both David Locke on the Utah Jazz Radio Network and you hear from John Ireland on the, well, John Ireland and the Phantom Michael Cooper. On the Lakers Radio Network. Wait, Michael, not Michael Cooper, Michael Thompson. Michael Thompson. Oh, my gosh. But Michael Cooper was also a former Laker. But it's Michael Thompson, who is his Klay Thompson's dad. Names, also not my department. I still call my dog by my niece's names. See what I mean? Spaghetti plate brain. Anyway, Michael, what do you think? So we didn't get to hear that. But we did hear John Ireland on the Lakers radio network. And both games of the NBA restart featured last second shots for the win. I think you couldn't ask for much more. There were signs of rust. Some guys got into rhythm early, like Brandon Ingram, but fell out of it late. Actually, JJ Redick, who was shooting really well most of the night, he was also open for a shot if Ingram decided not to take that one, but he kept the ball himself. Paul George was lights out. Didn't get a good look at it there at the end. LeBron James offensively, in terms of scoring, not his typical game. He went into the fourth quarter with only 9 points, I believe. But he had the big tip-in on his own offensive rebound at the end of the game that put the Lakers in front. And so it was good competition. I really didn't notice by the way that they have structured the court, the way that they have set up the LED screens. It's fake fans, and they're huge faces too. So it's not like you, when you do catch a glimpse of the LED screens, do you think, oh my gosh, those are real fans? No, they're huge fans in their windows virtually. But you don't get to see it very often. What you see more than anything are the tight shots on the players. So when the game is, you know, blown dead for a whistle, or guys are talking, or they're at the free throw line. And then otherwise you see primarily the half court shots. You don't get many wide angle shots that show you the entire arena. You're really just getting the bottom of that, which is right above the tiered benches. And that's where you get, you know, the bits of these LED screens. So the TV broadcast, TNT's choice, we'll see what ESPN does. They have chosen to really mask the fact that there are no fans there. And the piped in crowd noise, it's comparing radio and TV, it was far more prominent on radio than it was on TV. I didn't notice it as much on TV, but it also didn't seem eerie and quiet. So I think TNT did a really good job kind of tinkering with the audio and trying to make it not so jarring. So more palatable for fans, but also not fakey fake, like super fakey fake. Although when they do that, they didn't show many baseline shots other than when the guys were on the free throw line. And you've got these giant fans sitting behind them, all kind of, I'm sure it's looped in a recording. Some of them making funny faces, some of them waving, gesturing. Or it is, that's a little bit disconcerting because they're so much larger than what the people would be normally because they're on these giant LED screens. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks for tuning in. Love your answers on both Twitter and Facebook. In your world, what was the best part of July? Because Friday is the last day of July. So I guess if you don't have anything positive to say, well, there's always today. You might have something incredibly cool happen on today, Friday, July 21st. 855-212-4227 is our toll-free line here at CBS Sports Radio. Unless you're Hayden, then we charge you a lot. 855-212-4CBS. It's sponsored by Geico. Did you know right now Geico offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies, and that's on top of what Geico can already save you. What are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. 855-212-4227. So I want to get to some of your answers on Facebook. I encourage you to go and read through the post on Facebook because there's some encouraging stuff there. And I always am encouraged when you write things like my grandson was born and things like that. It reminds me that life goes on and that if we look for it, there are still reasons for joy. Some of you definitely are going the sports route, which I don't need you to do, but I'm glad that sports make you happy. So Scott says, 2 weeks for vacation with my wife and dog Penny, hanging at the pool. Not my dog Penny, his dog Penny, but that's awesome. Nathan on Facebook, I bought my first house and I am graduating college. Well, that's awesome. We have a little something in common, Nathan, though I wouldn't go back to college if somebody paid for it. No. Jamie says, I got a job. That's awesome. I'm so glad. Let's see. Roger talks about little Mo Gabba and how he's in a better place. So Mo, the Baltimore super fan who passed away earlier this week, he's just 14 years old and had battled cancer four times so valiantly and touched so many lives. And it does absolutely make me happy that he is not in pain anymore and he's not struggling anymore. And I know a lot of you out there have reached out to me to talk about Mo and to share some memories, maybe some pictures. And the Orioles and Ravens have done an incredible job making sure that he is memorialized, making sure that they paid tribute to him. Again, because this little 14-year-old who has struggled, had struggled for so long, he still had a contagious spirit and contagious joy. And that was so evident when you met him or talked to him. That you never forgot him. And so I agree with you, Roger. Mo Gabba is now in a better place and in no pain. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Tim says on Facebook, health and family, the best things about July. Jack, my favorite band released a new album unexpectedly, and it was much needed this summer. That's great. Congratulations. Sean, the greatest thing in July, my wife and I took our three dogs camping in a tent for a week at a campground in Maine. So cool. He says, what a week. Paul, I've continued to stay employed throughout the pandemic. That's definitely a plus. And he says, my dog scratched eye healed after surgery. Aw. Andy on Facebook, taking a chance and going to Cedar Point. It was a blast. You know, I've heard these stories. I don't know, Dave, if you've heard these same stories about people, Americans, who have decided that they're going to make the rounds of every amusement park that they can possibly get to in the United States because many of them are open, limited capacity, but obviously a lot of them are outdoors. So they're cleaning everything. They're deep cleaning. They're opening for people to show up. But because fewer people want to, right, because some people are nervous, they'd rather stay away, you can show up at places like Disney World or Cedar Point or Six Flags or any of these huge amusement parks, and you're not waiting in line. It's the middle of the summer when people are normally waiting for hours, and you can essentially walk right onto these rides.
That would be nice. That would be an added bonus because we took the kids to Disney around New Year's when I went away, and it's even crazier than I remember it, you know, when we went 5 years ago. It's just 2 hours if you want to wait online for one ride. So,
did you go to the Star Wars exhibit?
We didn't, no.
I heard that it's been insane. It's been so crazy and jammed with people that sometimes you can't even get in. Now would be the time to go. I'm not going to Florida anytime soon, but now would be the time to go.
Yeah, I mean, it was nice weather. It was New Year's. It was, you know, holiday time. So it was absolutely jam-packed. And anywhere from an hour to 2.5 hours waiting on a ride. And it wasn't worth it. So we just walked around and did other stuff for the little guy. But, you know.
Yeah, I think that if you have the money, that's the deal. They're not giving you discounts right now. You still are paying the full price. And some of these parks, Disney most notably, is uber expensive. I was supposed to be in Orlando at Disney World for a half marathon in mid-April. It got canceled. My friend and I, who lives in Orlando, she is planning to register us for the 2021 version. Right now they say they're going to take registration. It usually fills up pretty quickly. And so they're planning to take registrations in August. We're going to try. It would be pretty sweet if we ended up doing, because apparently she's done a couple of the Disney halves. I've never done one. It was going to be my big destination, kind of my bucket list thing. And she says they're so unbelievably packed. I can imagine they're not going to allow that if they do the race in 2021. So we have to get in pretty quickly if we're going to enjoy it. But I could see where it would be fun to go if you could take one day, pick a park, and I love Cedar Point in Sandusky, Ohio, love it. You could pick this park and just ride everything and then ride the ones you liked again because you wouldn't have to wait in line. That'd be pretty cool.
Well, that's the thing. That's why a lot of people don't even go because they're like, the lines are so long. I'm going to go for a whole day, wait in line the whole time, and just go on 2 rides or 3 rides. So, and I've been seeing commercials for places like Six Flags.
Yep.
They're deep cleaning and they're limited capacity. So like you said, feel free to walk around and actually go on the rides.
I wonder if people even realize they're open in a lot of cases, because I think you might still assume that they were closed down, but they're not. So the Orlando bubble, that's operating on Disney World property, and there are people going to the parks, although in July in Florida, that would be excruciating. No thanks.
Yeah, it's so hot down there. My mom lives 20 minutes from there, actually, and it's 95, 100, like every day. It's just, yeah.
And
the
humidity. Right. Unless you're in the water, which is why we see so many people at the beach. So, yeah, if you're an amusement park fan, now is the time to go if you want to scrape together some of those pennies or use some of your savings. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Norm on Facebook got to spend the weekend at York Beach, Maine. Been there many times. That's awesome. Keith says only one person in our factory had COVID this month. He will return to work this coming Sunday. That's great. I love to hear the return to work stories. Those make me happy. Doug, my sister came to visit me from Dover, New Hampshire. He's in Michigan, so that's great. I definitely understand the need for family time, especially when it's family that lives far away and travels to see you or you travel to see them. Still in a situation where I cannot get to my Grammy, even if I were to travel to Wisconsin. So that's been hard. But it's awesome that I saw my family in late June. They showed up on the scene to rescue me. Michael shares a picture of his new baby grandson. He says, my grandson was born. Congratulations. That's awesome. Let's see. Oscar, July 4th, my wife's 30th birthday. Wait, is that like her actual 30th birthday or is that just what you say to make her feel younger? It doesn't work, by the way. When someone says to you, oh, you turned 29 again. No, and it doesn't actually make me feel 29 when you said, you turned 29 again. Now, see, it's such a contrived compliment, too. It's not an organic compliment like, oh, wow, you look so good today. You look, oh, are you turning 35? Like someone who doesn't know you, whatever. Yeah, to say, my wife's turning 30 again. my wife's turning 29 again. Nah, skip it. Just say you look healthy. That's a great compliment. I love that compliment. Let's see. Brett agrees that it's the start of baseball season. I missed being able to watch my Chicago Cubs and live team sports. And then Travis, actually seeing sports take place, seeing how things will work and go, and truly my birthday. Hey, I celebrate my birthday big time, so I'm with you, Travis. He says, my birthday was on Wednesday. It's one of my favorite things about July. Well, happy birthday to you. It's always, I think, a major triumph to see yet another birthday and to celebrate another one. I do not take them for granted anymore. I will absolutely give you the props there for making it through another year. The next birthday in our family is my sister-in-law. And last year, both my mom and I completely forgot. Can you believe that? It was 3 weeks later when we remembered. We were so angry at my brother for not reminding us. Although, it's our fault. Not this year!
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.